Chapter 12. The Flies in the Marketplace. Flee, my friend, into your solitude. I see you deafened with the noise of the great men, and stung all over with the stings of the little ones. Admirably do forest and rock know how to be silent with you. Resemble again the tree which you love, the broad-branched one. Silently and attentively it o'erhangs the sea. Where solitude ends, there begins the marketplace. And where the marketplace begins, there begins also the noise of the great actors and the buzzing of the poison flies. In the world, even the best things are worthless without those who represent them. Those representers, the people call great men. Little do the people understand what is great, that is to say, the creating agency. But they have a taste for all representers and actors of great things. Around the devisers of new values revolves the world. Invisibly it revolves. But around the actors revolve the people and the glory. Such is the course of things. Spirit has the actor, but little conscious of the spirit. He believes always in that wherewith he makes believe most strongly, in himself. Tomorrow he has a new belief. And the day after, one still newer. Sharp perceptions has he, like the people and changeable humors. To upset, that means with him to prove. To drive mad, that means with him to convince. And blood is counted by him as the best of all arguments. A truth which only guides into fine ears, he calls falsehood and trumpery. Verily, he believes only in gods that make a great noise in the world. Full of clattering buffoons is the marketplace, and the people glory in their great men. These are for them the masters of the hour, but the hour presses them, so they press you, and also from you they want yea or nay. Alas, you would set your chart betwixt for and against. On account of those absolute and impatient ones, be not jealous, you lover of truth. Never yet did truth cling to the arm of an absolute one. On account of those abrupt ones, return into your security. Only in the marketplace is one assailed by yea or nay. Slow is the experience of all deep fountains. Long have they to wait until they know what has fallen into their depths. Away from the marketplace and from fame, takes place all that is great. Away from the marketplace and from fame have ever dwelt the devisers of new values. Flee, my friend, into your solitude. I see you stung all over by the poisonous flies. Flee here, where a rough, strong breeze blows. Flee into your solitude. You have lived too closely to the small and the pitiable. Flee from their invisible vengeance. Towards you they have nothing but vengeance. Raise no longer an arm against them. Innumerable are they, and it is not your lot to be a fly-flap. Innumerable are the small and pitiable ones, and of many a proud structure, raindrops and weeds have been the ruin. You are not stone, but already have you become hollow by the numerous drops. You will yet break and burst by the numerous drops. Exhausted I see you by poisonous flies. Bleeding I see you, and torn at 100 spots, and your pride will not even upbraid. Blood they would have from you in all innocence, blood their bloodless souls crave for, and they sting therefore in all innocence. But you, profound one, you suffer too profoundly even from small wounds, and ere have you recovered, the same poison worm crawled over your hand. Too proud are you to kill these sweet tooths. But take care, lest it be your fate to suffer all their poisonous injustice. They buzz around you also with their praise. Obtrusiveness is their praise. They want to be close to your skin and your blood. They flatter you as one flatters a god or devil. They whimper before you as before a god or devil. What does it come to? Flatterers are they, and whimperers, and nothing more. Often also do they show themselves to you as amiable ones, but that has ever been the prudence of the cowardly. Yea, the cowardly are wise. They think much about you with their circumscribed souls. You are always suspected by them. Whatever is much thought about is at last thought suspicious. They punish you for all your virtues. They pardon you in their inmost hearts only for your errors. Because you are gentle and of upright character, you say, blameless are they for their small existence. But their circumscribed souls think, blameable is all great existence. Even when you are gentle towards them, they still feel themselves despised by you, and they repay your beneficence with secret malfeasance. Your silent pride is always counter to their taste. They rejoice if once you be humble enough to be frivolous. What we recognize in a man, we also irritate in him. Therefore, be on your guard against the small ones. In your presence, they feel themselves small, and their baseness gleams and glows against you in invisible vengeance. Saw you not how often they become dumb when you approach them, and how their energy left them like the smoke of an extinguishing fire? Yea, my friend, the bad conscience are you of your neighbors, for they are unworthy of you. Therefore they hate you, and would fain suck your blood. Your neighbors will always be poisonous flies. What is great in you, that itself must make them more poisonous, and always more fly-like. Flee, my friend, into your solitude, and here, where a rough, strong breeze blows, it is not your lot to be a fly-flap. Thus spoke Zarathustra. Chapter 13. Chastity. I love the forest. It is bad to live in cities. There are too many of the lustful. Is it not better to fall into the hands of a murderer than into the dreams of a lustful woman? And just look at these men. Their eyes say it. They know nothing better on earth than to lie with a woman. Filth is at the bottom of their souls, and alas, if their filth has still spirit in it. Would that you were perfect, at least as animals, but to animals belongs innocence. Do I counsel you to slay your instincts? I counsel you to innocence in your instincts. Do I counsel you to chastity? Chastity is a virtue with some, but with many, almost a vice. These are continent, to be sure, but doggish lust looks enviously out of all that they do. Even into the heights of their virtue and into their cold spirit does this creature follow them with its discord. And how nicely can doggish lust beg for a piece of spirit when a piece of flesh is denied it? You love tragedies and all that breaks the heart, but I am distrustful of your doggish lust. You have two cruel eyes, and you look wantonly towards the sufferers. Has not your lust just disguised itself and taken the name of fellow suffering? And also this parable give I to you. Not a few who meant to cast out their devil went thereby into the swine themselves. To whom chastity is difficult, it is to be dissuaded, lest it become the road to hell, to filth and lust of soul. Do I speak of filthy things? That is not the worst thing for me to do. Not when the truth is filthy, but when it is shallow, does the discerning one go unwillingly into its waters. Verily, there are chaste ones from their very nature. They are gentler of heart, and laugh better and oftener than you. They laugh also at chastity, and ask, what is chastity? Is chastity not folly? But the folly came to us, and not we to it. We offered that guest harbor and heart. Now it dwells with us. Let it stay as long as it will. Thus spoke Zarathustra. Chapter 14. The Friend. One is always too many about me, thinks the anchorite. Always once one, that makes two in the long run. I and me are always too earnestly in conversation. How could it be endured if there were not a friend? The friend of the anchorite is always the third one. The third one is the cork which prevents the conversation of the two sinking into the depth. Ah, there are too many depths for all anchorites. Therefore, do they long so much for a friend and for his elevation? our faith in others betrays wherein we would fain have faith in ourselves. Our longing for a friend is our betrayer. And often with our love, we want merely to overlap envy. And often we attack and make ourselves enemies to conceal that we are vulnerable. Be at least mine enemy, thus speaks the true reverence, which does not venture to solicit friendship. If one would have a friend, then must one also be willing to wage war for him. And in order to wage war, one must be capable of being an enemy. One ought still to honor the enemy in one's friend. Can you go near to your friend and not go over to him? In one's friend, one shall have one's best enemy. You shall be the closest to him with your heart when you withstand him. You would wear no raiment before your friend. It is in honor of your friend that you show yourself to him as you are, but he wishes you to the devil on that account. He who makes no secret of himself shocks. So much reason have you to fear nakedness. Aye, if you were gods, you could then be ashamed of clothing. You could not adorn yourself fine enough for your friend, for you shall be to him an arrow and a longing for the Superman. Saw you ever your friend asleep, to know how he looks? What is usually the countenance of your friend? Is it your own countenance in a coarse and imperfect mirror? Saw you ever your friend asleep? Were you not dismayed at your friend looking so? Oh, my friend, man is something that has to be surpassed. In divining and keeping silence shall the friend be a master. Not everything must you wish to see. Your dream shall disclose to you what your friend does when awake. Let your pity be a divining, to know first if your friend wants pity. Perhaps he loves in you the unmoved eye and the look of eternity. Let your pity for your friend be hid under a hard shell. You shall bite out a tooth upon it. Thus it will have delicacy and sweetness. Are you pure air and solitude and bread and medicine to your friend? Many a one cannot loosen his own fetters, but is nevertheless his friend's emancipator. Are you a slave? Then you cannot be a friend. Are you a tyrant? Then you cannot have friends. Far too long has there been a slave and a tyrant concealed in woman. On that account, woman is not yet capable of friendship. She knows only love. In woman's love, there is injustice and blindness to all she does not love. And even in woman's conscious love, there is still always surprise and lightning and night along with the light. As yet, woman is not capable of friendship. Women are still cats and birds, or at the best, cows. As yet, woman is not capable of friendship. But tell me, you men, who of you are capable of friendship? Oh, your poverty, you men, and your sordidness of soul! As much as you give to your friend, will I give even to my foe, and will not have become poorer thereby. There is comradeship. May there be friendship. Thus spoke Zarathustra.